The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Hello and welcome to episode number 44 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. Dustin Galker, Adam Candy with me this week. Guys, we are coming off of one of the weirdest podcasts we have had to do since we've started doing podcasts here for the network. And I imagine this one is not going to be any more normal. This is going to be an incredibly strange podcast as we are in some incredibly strange times. Right now, guys, we're not going to be preaching to you about what you should be doing with your life. We are just going to be talking about how everything that's going on in the world right now relates back to this industry that we cover here. So if you're looking for information on what to do, obviously go to the CDC, go to Johns Hopkins, go to whatever, any of those websites and things like that. They will tell you what you should be doing. We are just going to be reporting on the things that are happening in the world and how those are looked at and how those are affecting everything through the lens of the gambling industry and the gambling world. And so with that, let's go ahead and I'm going to bring in, you know, two of the foremost experts on all that in Dustin Galker and Adam Candy here. And guys, however we want to kick this off, whoever wants to kick it off, but we are looking at some incredibly strange times here in the industry that we work in. Casinos are shut down. States are basically quarantining people, not allowed to go out, not allowed to gamble, not allowed to sports bet, not allowed to go out outside of their houses and do these things. And so it is certainly we're learning things by the hour, basically. I mean, things are changing, but certainly, you know, this time next week when we do this podcast, we will probably have a whole new set of mandates in place that we're going to have to deal with.
You know, Matt, as I've been writing stories this week or as I've been editing the work of other folks at Legal Sports Report, it has been amazing that I can't finish writing or editing the piece without some piece of information in the article already being obsolete. I mean, that really has been the pace of the rapid changes that we've seen over the last week in not only the sports betting, but the overall sports landscape. You know, right here in Nevada, where you and I are, obviously the casinos are shut down for a 30-day period. There are a handful of sports betting apps that will remain open, but of course the ones that are still offering markets are offering things like Russian basketball and you know, horse racing, because that's really the only thing that's left at this point. Legislative activity has slowed down quite a bit. We'll talk a little bit more when we get into the meat of things here about that, but you know, I think it is one of those times where, you know, we are trying to live not only day to day, but hour to hour, minute to minute, and just let things come as they are, because trying to look any farther into the future, I think we've seen in the last 7 days, is pretty futile.
I think you can look just as our last podcast, right? When we were live on doing the podcast and March Madness was just announcing that fans were not going to be allowed. And obviously in the intervening days, less than a week, we've had, you know, basically sports have shut down. It's and we don't know what's going to happen next. Certainly we're looking, you know, we'll get into this more, I'm sure. But I mean, we're looking at least, you know, best case scenario, 2 to 3 months of no sports, which is obviously has massive ramifications for the sports betting industry. And while you think people might not care about that in the current landscape, it is something that was, you know, growing, lots of interest, people still want to do. And now you're faced with a world where there's almost no sports and almost no gambling on the sports either.
This is, yeah, I mean, this is something that we are, you know, taking a look at here from just an industry standpoint with how these companies are going to, and not necessarily survive, but I mean, they are having to take some drastic measures as well. I mean, when we look at how these are going, and we were talking about this in our private Slack chat amongst the company yesterday, but these gaming companies and just the stock market, and we know that the stock market as a whole has been taking a beating, but I mean, these gaming companies, absolutely massive. If you take a look at Wynn trading 1 month ago at $137, and as we are taping this podcast right now, down to $42, we are talking 1 month. We are talking 30 days going from 137 down to $42.89. You are looking at Las Vegas Sands that has seen massive declines, MGM Resorts, Boyd, all of these companies going way down. And Dustin, you know, one of the ones that we've been watching, you know, along the way as well, made a major purchase very recently for several million dollars, and it has not been a kind 30 days to them either.
Yeah, I mean, all of them, any casino stock has been bad, obviously, because casino, you know, I think we're pretty much down to, I mean, casinos everywhere are going to be shut down. There's not going to be too many places that are open, but these large regional companies and in the large national companies, I mean, really anybody is getting hurt. You're talking about Penn National, of course, did the deal end of January with Barstool Sports, which now looks like some of the worst timing in any deal in gambling history. They announced it just like a couple of days before, you know, the World Health Organization announced that this pandemic was coming, and it really started getting serious. It traded at its 52 week high was $39.18. For stock for Penn National, as I look at it now, it's down 40% just today, trading about $4.50. I think the acquisition for Barstool was in the low 30s of Barstool's low 30s. So that's not great news. I jokingly, you know, look at this because of the timing on the Twitter machine. But this it really is just absolutely bad timing. It has nothing to do with Barstool. This is just the world that gambling companies who are mostly online or aren't mostly in casino sector, this is the world they're confronted with. But kind of brutal if you're any stock, especially Penn National.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the 52 week high. I mean, we were just talking just 1 month ago, sitting on February the 19th, trading at $37, and as you mentioned, closing today at $4.50, but it is all over. I mean, we mentioned some of those, but it's also all of the other companies that you've heard us talk about as well. Some of these ones that are behind the scenes, IGT, Scientific Games, just another, of course, Caesars as well, that just announced last night that they were going to be closing all of their properties across the country as well. All of these just taking massive, massive hits and, just really, really plummeting as far as that goes. Adam, when we take a look at this, I mean, you know, we know that the casino companies are going to be, you know, at least these casino companies do have some form. Some of them at least have a way to make money in the interim. There is some of them will be able to offer online gaming. Some of them will be able to, you know, make a little bit of cash while the actual physical doors are shut. But, you know, we focused a lot here on the podcast on the sports betting angle of things and the sports betting companies. And with no sports to bet on outside of, as we were kind of joking about, Russian basketball, some crazy, you know, Australian rules football and horse racing, it is got to be, I'm not going to speak for these companies, but it's, you got to think that they're going to have to start getting creative with some things here, especially if we're looking at, as Adam Silver said, no NBA until mid-June. If that's the case, you know, the other sports are going to follow suit as well. We've already had opening day of Major League Baseball push back. You got to think that if NBA isn't going to be back until June, that we're probably not going to have baseball till June either. Probably not going to have hockey till June either as well. So it's going to have to get pretty creative in these crazy times.
It will be very interesting to see the divide between casino companies that have sports betting operations and those who have truly leveraged themselves all the way when it comes to sports betting, because, you know, the diversity of offerings obviously goes a long way for those who have online. For those who don't, that's obviously a much different story. When it comes to those companies that do have something else to offer, though, it's important to keep in mind that when we talk about sports betting, and of course, you know, we've spent the last 2 years talking about sports betting, when it comes to where sports betting fits into the picture overall for most casinos and for most gaming companies, it is a very, very small slice of the pie. I mean, it's essentially an amenity, And because the business is such a low margin business that runs on volume, it is not one that, you know, any casino company was relying on solely when for its income. Now, obviously, a different situation if you're an online operator who is dealing largely with just sports betting or DFS or other things that are completely reliant on games. You know, as for the places in Nevada and the Las Vegas Strip specifically that have had to shut down, you know, this is a tricky time because you only had a few years of recovery from the 2009 recession, which Nevada was one of the last states to come out of, for those casinos to start to get healthy in some ways. And then the October 1st shooting occurred, which caused a dip in visitation to Las Vegas for quite a while for factors well beyond the control of Las Vegas. Then just within the past 12 months, you saw MGM Resorts laying off 1,000 manager level employees as it prepared for the future. So, you know, you're going to see that market constrict even more. And beyond the companies, you know, we talk about the corporations and the companies. With the Las Vegas Strip shutting down, research from UNLV says that there are nearly 100,000 people who work on the Las Vegas Strip. A lot of them are people who work on tips and on gratuities, and all of those people are suddenly out of work for at minimum a month. And the more you read from health authorities, it could stretch on even a little bit beyond that.
And Dustin, there is at least a couple of things that are still going on the gambling side of things as well. Of course, the casinos, you can still play online casinos over in Jersey, Pennsylvania. We're also looking at online poker in Nevada and over in Jersey and Pennsylvania as well. So that is something that we'll probably keep a closer eye on than we normally do here on this podcast to see how the numbers get affected with those. Of course, we have the sister site as well, Online Poker Report, if you want to follow that on a day-to-day basis. But to see if there is, let's not call it a poker boom by any stretch of the imagination, because there's still a lot of restrictions on who can and can't play online poker. But it will be one of the options that are available to people out there if they are looking to kind of fill a void. So seeing poker numbers and things might be something we pay a little bit more attention to here on the pod.
Yeah, I mean, right now, people are, you know, not necessarily always thinking about the long term. They're looking at things to do. People who are betting on sports are looking at things to replace that. They're either betting on some of the ridiculous things that you would never bet on otherwise, unless you're, you know, unless you just happen to be an expert on Korean basketball or what have you. But yeah, you're going to see in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, especially, and then Nevada for online poker, that people are going to move to those forms of gambling in the short term. You're also seeing, you know, there's still the ponies are racing places, and you're seeing more emphasis on that. You go to the FanDuel app for sports betting, and they'll instantly try to send you either to TVG, FanDuel Racing, their two horse betting apps that are owned by Flutter, or to their casino that's available in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey as well. So that, you know, that's, if you, it goes back to Adam's point, if you're diversified, if you have more than just sports you're relying on, then you're going to make it through this a little bit better. You know, certainly FanDuel is a better position than some other companies that are, you know, obviously the DFS and sports betting operations are all but shut down, but we have, you know, they have something else to go on. You know, companies like, I don't want to speculate too much on their positions or what's going on. DraftKings, PointsBet, William Hill, these are largely sports betting companies who are don't really have much they can do in the current landscape of things in the U.S. DraftKings does have casino in New Jersey. You're also seeing FanDuel and DraftKings just roll out all manner of crazy free contests, you know, contests based on Survivor, based on Top Chef, based on the Democratic debate. I think FanDuel and DraftKings both had like a free to play contest where you could either be fantasy or fake betting on outcomes of the Democratic primary. So that's the kind of stuff you're going to see. I think you're going to see some creativity on player retention and what's going on. But it is obviously dire times if you're largely a sports betting company.
Yeah. William Hill, I imagine, is going to be hurt pretty badly in all of this as well. And, you know, one of the companies that we talked about that has really just gained a ton of traction across the United States was just seems like they were available. It seems like they were part of every single deal that we were talking about here on the podcast in one way, shape, or form. It'd be interesting to see, you know, how that all pans out for them here over the next couple of months. And this is a tough stretch here. But Adam, you know, one of the things we also follow are these bills that are trying to get pushed through, bills that are trying to happen. We were talking about last week that we didn't know where we were going to be a week later. Here we are a week later, and we have started to see a lot of the state legislators starting to shut down.
Yeah, that is definitely an effect that's going on nationwide. Yeah, I think last week we were kind of speculating, would they stay open for the purpose of trying to deal with essential legislation, or would they just shut down entirely? And, you know, per the guidelines of most places, of not having gatherings larger than about 10 people, just based on the functionality of that, you can't really bring together the legislatures. We have seen that some legislatures have been able to push things here quickly, jumping ahead a little bit on our agenda. But, you know, Maryland was able to expedite measure through its legislature over the last couple of days before it shuts down today. Took a lot of the details out of the bill, but did pass something that will at least send it to the ballot in the fall. So, yeah, I think that, you know, we were looking at, I believe, 21 states that had some form of active legislation for sports betting this year. Obviously bet heavily on the under with that at this point.
So Dustin, this was something that I was very entertained with you on Twitter yesterday, and we've made fun of how DC has handled a ton of this along the way as it goes. And you know what, let me just turn it over to you and talk about DC here.
Yeah. So out of the blue, I guess not out of the blue, this has kind of been out there. The Washington, D.C., which legalized sports betting, their app is apparently close to going live, which is, you know, there's unfortunate timing with launches in Illinois and Michigan. Was that really just last week? That sounds like 5 months ago at this point. Right. But and then Montana launched last week, too, limited with some betting here. D.C., like knowing that there's no sports to bet on, is apparently going to launch their app. This is, if you listen to this podcast, you know of our dislike of the company Intralot, which is running the app. And, you know, this is really just, you know, I mean, this has been a dumpster fire for a long time. I think I think we'd all agree on that, what DC has done. But like, why are you launching a sports betting app in the middle of the pandemic when there's nothing to bet on? You usually get a pretty good spike out of, oh, here's sports betting, it's legal, you can do that, you get free media, all that. You're just, you know, you're dumping this into a void to have, I don't know what the point of it is. I guess you can test it, but you could also just beta test it in the background without that. So a very weird timing. We also know from the Montana rollout, which is also an Intralot product, that they were, you know, VIG was kind of through the roof, -133 sides. I'd imagine, you know, what we know of DC sports betting, where they're trying to provide, you know, something like a return of only maybe perhaps 70 or 80% to the player, that we're going to see ridiculous lines like that on, you know, the aforementioned Turkish soccer and Russian basketball and things like that. So DC, very strange. I don't know why you'd launch right now, other than you want to test it out and be ready and see if you're ready for the load when things really get rolling again. But at the same time, I would just roll it out in the summer when things get going again. And so kind of mystifying, I think, from all standpoints.
Adam, I'm glad that Dustin brought up what went on in Montana, because we've said on this podcast before, and I've been guilty of saying it, that, you know what, having something is better than having nothing. We've talked about that when we've talked about California and how something could ever possibly get done over there, and some of these other states where we say, you know, it's not the best, but having something is better than having nothing. And then comes along Montana to make me completely walk back that statement and say, you know what, maybe having something isn't better than having nothing here, when we see the way that they launched that in Montana. And, you know, you and I living this industry and being around it so incredibly much. And, you know, we've talked about, do -112 lines really matter as opposed to -110 lines? And is that really going to affect the betting public? Are you really ripping off the betting public when you do different things like that? But then when we saw what went on in Montana and see what a disaster it can be when there isn't competition in a marketplace, it really does make you start to go, okay, you know what? Maybe having nothing is better than having something.
I'm actually going to point Dustin back to an experience we had gosh, almost a year ago at this point, being at Ice North America in Boston last May, where Eric Ramsey had pointed out to us the Intralot display and had shown us what was on that screen, which turned out to be remarkably like what it ended up launching in Montana with these insanely priced sides and money lines. And, you know, for anybody who's done this once or twice, if I say to you that the money lines on a game between, let's say, you know, Kansas and the Sisters of the Poor is lined at minus 1100 on Kansas and plus 300 on the Sisters, you can pretty quickly figure out just how ridiculous these prices are. So, you know, Matt, to your point, yeah, I understand that for some people, you just want to be able to have a piece of the action, and maybe you are not savvy to this whole thing and you don't really even look at what the numbers are next to your team. You just see that you can bet on your team. It'll be pretty stark when you see what the return is, though, on a winning bet when you talk to anybody else who's bet anywhere else and see what that is. So Intralot, who was the sports betting provider in Montana, so they got the exclusive rights to that contract. They're taking advantage of people. There's no other way to look at it. They're taking advantage of inexperience and people who are not used to betting on sports. DC, though, DC had choices. DC didn't have to do it this way. DC decided to go with Intralot and decided to go with Intralot to the exclusion of any other provider. We have a good article up on LegalSportsReport.com. I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago that Matthew Waters looked at how single operator states were doing. And lo and behold, most of them are not doing particularly well right now. So, you know, for DC to launch this at this particular time is just the chef's kiss of perfect toppings to how this entire process has been handled in Washington. We wrote at the time of the expulsion of Jack Evans, the councilman most responsible for Intralot being pushed upon the DC council, at the time of his expulsion from the council for FBI allegations not having to do with Intralot. We wrote that it should have been reviewed. The contract should have been looked at again in light of the fact that someone who was just expelled from the council, who has ties to Intralot through his consulting firm, is the one who put this forward and was most responsible for the district ending up with this situation. I'd repeat that call right now, although it seems like it would fall on deaf ears. Now, practically, if we look at this from another angle, what it suggests to me, if they're launching it right now in March, they're launching it into the void of nothing, I think it's pretty bad. Like, I think what they have is obviously not a good product, because there's no company in the world that would choose to launch a product at a time when customers look at it, they go, what is this? They're hoping customers won't look at it. And to me, that makes me say, why didn't you hold on? But I think that there's something here, since this launch is months late anyway, there's something here that suggests, you know what, this product wasn't any good, it wasn't going to get any better, and they decided to say, the hell with it, just get it out there.
I'll also say I'm team who cares about the VIG usually. Like, people get bent out of shape versus on minus 110 versus minus 114 lines. I don't think average run-of-the-mill sports bettor cares. This is predatory what they do here. It's just not good. It's not a good user experience either. It's, you know, it's one thing to want to make money off sports betting by charging a little bit more VIG. And, you know, if you want to make some at the edges, great. But when you're getting all the losing bets and then you're getting way less money back on a winning bet. I just don't see why people would want to bet like that. I think even if you're not sensitive to VIG, I think you, and just have no idea what you're doing, I think eventually you get wise to this pretty quickly when you see when you're getting returns. If we're up to like minus 135, minus 140 lines on a side, like, I think you're going to figure this out as a consumer, right? That this is really, really bad, really bad for you. You don't have to know what VIG is to say, like, okay, I want to bet, but I only got like half my money back. That's not a good user experience.
Yeah. And that's the thing that we've, you know, preached on this podcast time and time again, was the fact that legalization does give you the option to not go to these illegal books and to not use these offshore books. And despite the fact that, yeah, you might get a tiny bit of a reduced VIG on one of, you know, on some of the lines on the offshore, just knowing that you are in a legalized, regulated market where you have recourse if you were to not get paid or whatever it might be. Like, there are things in line where you can feel comfortable with everything you're doing. But you look at something like this, and Dustin, you've been really the voice in the industry on stuff like this. But like you look and like you're saying, it's like you kind of go, well, you're not giving the person a reason to not play offshore. You're basically like a foot. You're basically giving them a reason to take their money to the black market here as opposed to spend it legally in your state.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell people to go bet offshore, but I'm certainly not telling anybody to go bet with the Intralock product in Montana or DC. These are garbage. You should not support this. You should actually avoid them so that you get something better. I mean, we have problems with what I have in Oregon, but by and large, it's at least a reasonable product with not garbage lines. You know, it works pretty well. Something is better than nothing. The something I have here in Oregon is better than nothing. The something that you're getting in Montana and DC, I would argue is nothing. You might as well not have it. I would not say go bet on offshore, but I mean, those are your options, I would actually say don't support the legal option because it's that bad. Maybe I'm a little over the top, but it's that bad.
No, it definitely is. It definitely is. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's just no way to win.
It's basically not really sports betting.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Sports
right.
betting. There's no sports way to win. Betting. Yeah. You should be able to win half the time. You should, like, if you're betting sides, you should be able to, you know, recoup up to, you know, if you're a little bit better than a coin flip at winning, you shouldn't lose that much money in the long term. And this is just, you're going to lose. You can't possibly beat the offering in Montana and, you know, not that Montana and DC, not that anybody is beating anything, but it's just not fair. You're just pissing away money, basically.
Exactly. So
not much fun.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you 100% there. Adam, you mentioned as we were talking about some things that did get done before some of these legislators were shutting down, you mentioned Maryland. Why don't you give everyone the kind of full rundown there about Maryland?
Sure. So Maryland and Virginia have been in sort of a neck and neck race through the last couple of months to see who was going to not only legalize sports betting, but to become the fair-haired belle of the ball who could attract Daniel Snyder of the Washington Redskins to build a stadium in their jurisdiction that could host legal sports betting sometime after the lease expires for the Redskins at FedEx Field in 2027. Maryland was moving along pretty well and then ultimately decided to end its legislature early because of coronavirus fears. And so what they did was the Senate took the House bill, basically stripped the entire piece of the language out of there and turned it just into a ballot question. Now, keep in mind, it was always going to have to go to the ballot in Maryland. There are constitutional restrictions that require that. But the license fees and the taxes and the other specifics were removed from the bill, and it got boiled down to this question, which will go to the ballot in the fall. Do you favor the expansion of commercial gaming in the state of Maryland to authorize sports and event betting for the primary purpose of raising revenue for education? If you are a proponent of sports betting in Maryland, that could not look like a better version of the question, especially when you go back to a state like Colorado that had sports betting on the ballot in the fall and had a question that was structured essentially to say, do you want to raise taxes to have sports betting? That was required by state law there. So in any case, what ended up happening was that this will go to the ballot as a shell, essentially. The previous bill would have legalized sports betting at 4 casinos, 3 racetracks, and a yet-to-be-built stadium that could have housed the Washington Redskins. It was looking at license fees, pretty hefty, of $1.5 to $2.5 million and tax rate of about 20%. So it would have been one of the higher burdens that we've seen in legal sports betting in the U.S. We'll see what happens if it comes back to that, because the legislature will have the opportunity to fill in some of these details if it's approved at the ballot in November.
Dustin, whenever we mention New York on this podcast, it's typically something bad, but this time we have something good. Oh, never mind. That's not the case at all. Sorry. We don't have anything good to say about New York.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of alluded to legislatures not really focusing on things other than, you know, Maryland is obviously moving forward, but New York does not. The most likely way for it to happen was to get through, get put into the state budget. You know, as all of this is coming down, you know, getting sports betting, which was already going to be a heavy lift, into the budget, looks increasingly dire, according to, you know, the sources. You know, Senator Joseph Addabbo talks to us all the time and kind of keeps us updated on what's going on. Interview with him over there at Legal Sports Report. But, you know, right now, I think think I'm going to be pessimistic on anything getting done. Maryland got done because it was so close to the finish line. It was, and again, they're kind of punting on the details. I think if you had to force to do the details down, maybe it wouldn't have happened, but they're at least going to take that first step, like Adam said, of getting the legislature going. So, I'm not going to say we're not going to see any other sports betting legalization happen this year, but it's going to be, in the climate of legislature shutting down, we're in election year. It's just a lot of uncertainty, and I guess I don't see New York or elsewhere really this kind of thing getting a ton of traction until we come back next year.
And Adam, before we get out of here, let's check in on Kansas and let everybody know if they are what situation they are sitting in there.
State of Kansas already had a bill clear the Senate, and then that bill, after going over to the House, was met with resistance that said, yeah, that's nice that you passed a bill. We're going to pass our own bill. And if you look at the two bills, the Senate bill, a tiered tax rate of 5.5% for in-person wagers and 8% for mobile wagers, that 5.5% would become the lowest in the country that we've seen when it comes to not only sports betting, but gaming in general. The House bill looks much more friendly to leagues in terms of having official league data for in-play wagers required, in terms of giving sports leagues the ability to request that wagers are restricted on a specific event. In either case, you're looking at the lottery. I should say in the House bill, you're looking at the lottery having control. And if you're looking at the Senate bill, it leans more toward the states, sort of the state-owned casinos. So, casinos versus lottery, low tax versus high tax, official data mandate versus no official data mandate. This kind of sets up as every discussion we've ever had when it comes to the two different versions of these bills that are out there. Unsurprisingly, the casinos in the state are opposed to that House bill. This was something that, we reported on last week. We have not updated since, but of course, the way things are moving in the country right now, no way to say when this might or might not move forward.
Guys, what a week it has been. I mean, since we got on this podcast last time, the NCAA tournament was canceled. The XFL season was canceled. The UFC has now been put on ice. The NBA has paused their season. The NHL has paused their season. Major League Baseball has pushed back opening day. The PGA Tour has canceled several events. It has postponed the Masters. It has postponed the PGA Championship. The Kentucky Derby has been rescheduled for the fall. And this all happened in the 7 days since our last podcast. So just to kind of give you an idea of how this sports world and how everything has changed just in these 7 days. And no doubt in the 7 days between the next podcast, we are going to have a massive amount of change and things go on as well. I mean, Dustin, when you take a look, and I've been saying this, time and time again, I mean, I think that the last 7 days, I think for me is probably the strangest, 7 days I can remember in my life. I mean, I look back even on 9/11 when that happened. And for me, I mean, maybe it was because I was just so much younger. I was, I was still in college and stuff at the time. And it certainly wasn't a full adult yet to be able to understand the magnitude of everything. So, I mean, I guess maybe this week has just hit me a little bit harder now that I'm, am older and consider myself to be more of an adult and more of aware of things that are going on, in the world. But I think that's the kind of the key word for me here. The, 9/11 affected the United States, and it was certainly horrible for us for an extended period of time. But this, with this affecting literally the entire world here, wrapping our brains around all this stuff is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say 9/11 for me, I lived about a mile from the Pentagon. I could go on the roof of my apartment building and actually see the Pentagon. So I did that morning and saw the smoke coming out. So it impacts me a little bit more, not totally different things. And this is obviously, yes, more wide ranging. The impact for me is pretty similar. We're living, it's hard to imagine things happening that, again, even a week ago, we knew this was kind of coming, that things were bad around the world. I don't think any of us really thought the world of sports was going to get shut down entirely like a week ago. Maybe we started thinking it right as we were recording this podcast, but early last week, I was like, that would have been an outcome that I'm not sure I mean, I would have put it on a range of outcomes, but I didn't really think it was going to happen. And now we're sitting here looking at it. And if I don't know, if you think it's only going to be like a week or two, we're now everybody, the NBA said June, MLB is postponed opening day at least until the middle of May. You know, the Kentucky Derby has already punted to September. We're kind of in it for the long haul. I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you're thinking sports and sports betting are coming back real soon. Doesn't mean we're not going to keep talking about it and keep assessing what all this means as things go, time goes on. There's obviously going to be companies that struggle through all this in our space and obviously beyond in casino gaming and everything else in the world. But I don't know if I have a point to all that, but yes, this is a wild time to be alive. Hopefully everybody gets through it safely, healthily, and we all this is happening for a reason and not just all the measures that are be taking really are for the best for sport, for the world, and for humanity, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Adam, this is certainly more even far reaching when you think of the trickle down effect with all of this, just looking at this again through what we cover here, the NCAA tournament getting canceled, all of the hourly workers that work in the arenas, all the people that were going to be set to work the television broadcasts and things like that, the XFL season getting completely canceled, and all the people who had found jobs within that niche of things that were going on. The UFC events are, still independent contractors work on tons of those things. I don't have to tell you that what that means for the NBA and the NHL postponing their seasons for all of those people. Same with Major League Baseball pushing back things and the PGA Tour and stuff. And it just when you really kind of sit down and you think about, we look at the very, very big picture of all of these things, like, oh man, I flip on my television and I don't have sports, but you really start to take in the trickle down effect as well. And it's you understand that how just massive this impact really and truly is.
Matt, you said that very well. And this is the time where I really draw upon the background I have in covering news and business and maybe looking at this a little bit more holistically, I think, than I feel like others are. And I'll be very honest, guys, when we were talking about this last week, I knew it was serious, but I was only just starting to kind of figure out how serious and the spread of the virus and the potential to impact hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives. And now we're seeing that impact not only in terms of health, but we're seeing it in terms of the economy as well. There are a dozen states, Nevada here included, where restaurants and bars have been ordered shut by governors. And it's 100% the right move. At the same time, hundreds of thousands of people are suddenly out of work and they don't know for how long. And many of them rely on cash. We are fortunate that we have the opportunity to continue talking about these things and, to have a job that allows us to do that and a platform that allows us to do that. Guys, we talked about the return of sports. I don't know that everyone has fully grasped what it seems to be the message from health officials, which is that if you want sports back sooner, if you don't want to wait longer than 2 or 3 months for sports, get in your house and stay there as much as possible. Because if we don't flatten out the curve from a health perspective in terms of the ability of hospitals and emergency rooms to take care of the people who are going to become sick from this disease, then it's going to be longer and longer before sports come back. And I don't mean to make light or to minimize the impact on health and people's lives and jobs, et cetera, but, we talk about sports here and we talk about sports betting. And if you're wanting that, then you need to listen to what people are saying when they tell you stay inside, keep social distance, don't do the things that could potentially spread this disease farther, because frankly, that's how we get sports back quicker.
And Dustin, as before we get out of here, you being the director of our content here across all of our sister sites, if you're wondering, what's open, what's closed, where can I gamble, where can I gamble, are there options available to me and all that, we have all of that information across our network.
Yeah, we're trying to update like what's PlayUSA network. We're trying to update what's open as far as just casinos around the country. Adam's been updating a post on the impact of coronavirus on, again, sports betting landscape, where, you know, there's still horse races going on some places where if you're interested in that, we're trying to keep up with that too. But yeah, I'll echo what Adam says. I don't care where you fall on the political spectrum or all of this, but if we're making all these decisions and it's just going to get better magically, like you're living in a fantasy world. He's right. You have to, if you want sports back, do what people say. It's if infection continues growing at rates that can't be controlled, it's not going to happen. So if the one thing you really care about is sports betting or sports, you know, again, sounds silly, but there are people who will vote only on gambling issues. Like they get ramped up for, if somebody will say, I'll have online poker, or you're going to legalize sports betting or legalize DFS. These are things that I know motivate people, right?
Right.
So if you want that, like, stay the F inside, right?
Absolutely. There's definitely a, no doubt about that, guys. As always, we appreciate you giving us your time. We hope that we are able to give you a little bit of a distraction throughout things, if that's what you're looking for. And if you're looking for informational purposes, of course, always at LegalSportsReport.com and across our entire network, we will have all the information that you could possibly need on all the updates with the casinos, sports betting, online poker, because online casino, whatever it might be that you're looking for, we have all that information to take a look at that stuff. Please, as always, subscribe, rate, and review Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google. We do appreciate those, and we will be here with you guys each week throughout all of this and giving you the updates on everything that we know. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.